Okay, call to order the second monthly meeting for the Commission of the Port of Port Townsend, February 25th, 2015.
Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, approval of the agenda. We have a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second that.
And if I could, just for the record, to note that Commissioner Tucker is not here tonight. He had a family emergency he had to attend to over in Idaho, so.
All those in favor?
So the consent agenda. Do we have a vote?
On the agenda? Say aye.
I thought we did.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. So move on to the consent agenda.
Make a motion, we accept the consent agenda.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Public comments not related to the agenda. Any public comments? Bertram?
Did you receive my email about the system for grant compliance? I was kind of naive because as I was informed that the port really doesn't have, what I suggested was that like the parking stickers in Seattle, you get a sticker. The problem I was told that people aren't in the morning with the fishermen coming, so they can't monitor them. So I was suggesting there's a machine like parking machines in Seattle where you get a sticker and you put it on your trailer, and then when the people come in, they check them out. Well, as I was informed, there's really, you don't have any way to enforce it, so it's really doesn't mean anything. So short of, I mean, I just was thinking about, I mean, you could put a gate and gate that off so that people would have to have a card. That's going to cost money. And so I would just urge the commission to think that out and budget for that ahead of time when you're doing this planning for the ramp expansion, and not think of that as an afterthought and a scramble for money to redo something. Because if you need a gate system or something, it should be coordinated with the whole process.
Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Bertram.
Yeah, I did have a thought on Bertram's thing. You know, is there a way that we could determine how much we're losing? I mean, is there a way we could do like a snapshot survey and say, okay, over a 15-day period, we might have seen 10 cars.
It'd be anecdotal, unless you really wanted to throw a lot of staff hours at it.
Right. Well, I was thinking about, you know, those counters are actually pretty cheap with the cord you put across the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
Like the parks use them, and the one they have out there in Mystery Bay is just a simple little thing that it's actually battery-powered.
Yeah.
And I was going to suggest maybe looking into how much one of those would cost to do exactly what Pete's suggesting, get an idea of how much traffic is really.
You could extrapolate pretty quick from the counts versus the.
Well, you could, because monthly or annual passes. So an annual pass can go down there five times a day and
well,
five ticks, but.
You got to go to the annual pass and use it once a day. So.
Well, it depends on the sea. If it's crabbing season, you get a lot of double counts because people. Set the pots, go home, come back, go in, harvest them, and go home again. But yeah, it's personally, I don't think, I think we're making a bigger issue of it than it really is. You know, when the moorage folks go on their dock walk, they'll tag trucks out here. And most of those people come back in and pay before they leave. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are there some that will skip? Yes. Now, one of the ideas Steve was in yesterday, we were talking about it, was, you know, we record the license numbers. And if we, over a period of time, say 6 months or whatever, we see the same license number pop up over and over again that's not paying, then maybe we, because we have the mechanism to get the name and address associated with that license plate, and you know, send a nice, you know, postcard or something saying we notice you use our facility quite often. You know, next time you're in town, would you please pay? Something to that effect. Now, we're also putting up a lot of new signage around here. You know, everybody pays for the use of the ramp. You know, the myth is still out there that, well, if I don't park on port property, if I park over by the old visitor center, it's free. Well, it ain't. You can park wherever you want, we don't care, but if you're on our ramp, you're going to pay for it. So between the signage and maybe monitoring some of the license plates, we get a little bit better feel for, you know. I just don't want to spend thousands of dollars to collect hundreds of dollars.
Right. No, I agree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Second reading, the retreat afterthoughts.
Yes, since we had on Monday and everybody's had a couple of days, all three commissioners were in yesterday. And we all talked a little bit, so I'm not sure there's much more. It sounds like May is a good month for targeting the next retreat. So we're kind of moving ahead with that. David Goldsmith said he'd have everything typed up in a report by next week. So we're going to sit down, have a meeting with him. And whatever he has, we'll put in your boxes and start developing the May retreat, which, as I took away on from Monday, would kind of be focused on the strategic plan, the advisory committee, the mission statement, kind of that envelope. Personally, I'm not sure we need a whole day. We might just do like a long morning or afternoon or something. So it's kind of the thought process right now. You know, if you have any other things you want to, you know, add into that over between now, you know, talk a couple of months here, so.
Sure.
Yeah. That's really about it. I thought it was a good retreat. It was.
Yeah, I think everybody walked away saying it was surprisingly good. So.
Mm-hmm. Now you know what personality your wife is. You didn't know that before. We had to do a personality test as part of our retreat on Monday, so he took it home and gave it to his spouse.
All right. First reading, Team Jefferson, EDC contract, scope of services.
You know, the previous contract expired at the end of 2014. I won't release payment until we have a new contract, so this is the first reading, no decision tonight. It's pretty close to the old contract, however, in the scope of work, if I can find it here, page 13, item 5, we added your request, Brad, to working with the port to analyze and describe the contribution made by the port's Point Hudson facility to the local economy and the potential financial and economic implication of a decision by the port to fund demolition and replacement of the Point Hudson jetty. Okay. So that's one of the specific things for them to do. keep in mind that the next workshop in 2 weeks, Peter Quinn will be here to brief you on the year-end 2014 results. And so if you have any questions, certainly that would be the opportune time to ask them. We won't vote on this contract till that afternoon at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And one of the things that we'll get with Peter to make sure he goes over is I'm still not sure of the dates. You know, they're moving the Chamber of Commerce from the park and ride down here to where Northwind's Gallery used to be, kind of in back of the old visitor center. And
when is that supposed to happen?
That's why I don't know. It's this spring sometime. So Peter can fill us in on it. And in that facility, they're going to house the chamber, the EDC, and have a desk for the gentleman that you and I talked about.
Mm-hmm. Right, small business.
Small business development center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's really based out of Port Angeles, but they'll have a desk and a computer, so 1 or 2 days, depending on his workflow. So the place to set up shop over here and talks to people and that sort of thing. So we'll have that as part of the briefing too.
Okay.
That's really about it. And the dollars don't change.
So I had a little meeting with Larry the other day about this contract, and the one thing I asked was about the quarterly reports that we were supposed to be getting and, you know, and specific information. And you know, we need that as far as I'm concerned. And we haven't been getting it. So something needs to change to make that happen.
Yeah, and part of it, I need to talk to Steve. Steve's been going down to EDC quite a bit. And I think Peter, since Steve was the president of the commission, Peter was thinking, well, I'm giving all this information, you know, to the president of the commission, but it needs to come to the commission and to the staff. And I'm thinking that maybe the quarterly reports could be submitted in writing. And then if we have any questions, you know, certainly we can ask those questions. But the annual briefing really needs to be a formal stand-up briefing to the commission. But we can talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, just I think something that, you know, at least lets us feel good that the contract's...
And just, you know, this contract is written based on a format given by the RCW, you know, for EDCs or the ADO, as they're officially called under the RCW. They're actually supposed to be rendering the same type of reports to the county as well. And should the city ever participate by giving money, then they would get the same report too. So that's why some of this language is written the way it is, because it has to follow that, I forget the name of the RCW. There is right there, 30.28B50.050.
Yeah, I didn't know Eric was going to put that down.
I know. And that's it, so.
Okay.
Yeah, we're good with that.
Okay, me too. All right, moving on to staff comments.
Connor.
Good to meet you. Thank you.
Amy?
The only thing I have is I'm getting closer. I should have draft at least December financials for you at the next meeting.
Okay. Sue?
Nothing.
Do you want to do the Fish and Wildlife, or do you want me to do it?
Why don't you do it?
So I believe all the commissioners were alerted the other day in an email that U.S. Fish and Wildlife have awarded us $1.1 million for our breakwater reconstruction, which is great news. I mean, that was a big one. So we got the maximum grant allowed, $1.1 million. So we've kind of known for 2 weeks we're getting it.
Yeah, we got a phone call, but
it's actually published now. So
now when you read it, though, and Brad caught it, and I sent an email back to him last night because we saw it too. Yeah, Washington, this is a nationwide.
Right.
And when you look at it, two entities, Port Angeles and us, were the only ones in Washington State to get any money. All the rest, most of them are on the East Coast. Maine got quite a bit, Virginia got some up and down the East Coast. And in the short 3 or 4 line write-up, it says the city of Port Townsend to receive one point. You know, it's really the port of Port Townsend. It's just that we're the only state with port districts. You know, no other state has it, and they usually give these things to cities and counties. So
the other cool part of that is that that says that the city is responsible for the construction of
it. I know.
They need to pay a serious dollar that they don't know is coming at
them. Call Tim and thank him for taking the other $4 million worth of liability off. I should always like that.
Yeah, I think it's great, Larry, and I think it is really, truly remarkable that, I mean, of all of the recipients, our amount is by far the biggest in the western United States. I mean, west of...
Well, there's only 14 million total for the whole nation.
Right. So, yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
Well, sometimes it helps to know people in high places.
Yeah, that worked out very well.
There will be a lot of reporting requirements, but... We're used to that with the FAA and everything else. Anytime you take Fed dollars, it's, you know, a lot of other forms you got to fill out. So that's great. I've got a few things. If you got time, it's kind of an interesting thing. Sue and I do it every year. We partner with the city. And it's a contractor's workshop. And it's usually half a day. In this case, it's on March 10th, 8:30 to 12. And it's going to be over at Fort Warden in the USO building. And what we do is we advertise this, and it's free to all contractors. And we get pretty good attendance. you know, from Clallam County, Jefferson County, a lot of Kitsap County, and this is everything from roofers to builders to excavators to cement guys to everything, electricians. And it's a chance for us as local governments to put on a little presentation on how you get on a small works roster, how you bid these small works projects with local governments, et cetera. And actually in this one, the Department of Labor and Industries is going to be here making a presentation to that effect. And then the local governments, I'll get up when it comes my turn and just talk about the types of projects we do. And if there's anything coming up, like I'll tell them that, you know, we've got, you know, a low ramp expansion coming up. We got the Point Hudson Breakwater, because sometimes these small contractors, they won't be bidding, say, on the breakwater project as the prime, but there may be some work as a sub that they can then go for to that prime contractor and say, hey, I'll do the electrical or something and get added in. So anyway, it's kind of interesting. If you get time, just show up.
Do we participate if we show up?
You don't.
No.
No. Okay. Sue and I will take all of our information down, and I'll get 5 minutes to stand up and just talk about port projects.
Yeah, I'll show up.
Yeah.
The next thing, we already talked about the big grant. I've got PDD tomorrow over in Squim, and then the remnants of the RC&D. Hopefully y'all were watching Como 4 News last night to see Steve and I.
Sorry, missed it.
Jeez.
Don't worry, we're going to add it to our website. Now, they were, Como 4 News came over. Peter Quinn was in it to talk about the Dynebec boat that's been sold bought by an investor down in California, two brothers. They're going to fully restore it to the tune of about $2 million. And it's a two-year project. The one brother that came up here to look at the boat, when he saw how active our boatyard was, and all the marine trades, literally using hand tools, he specifically said, that impressed him. And instead of trucking it down to Monterey to have it restored, he decided Port Townsend was the place to have it done. So what we're going to do is next week, the Avalon, which is the 60-foot derelict in the far back corner of the shipyard, that's under DNR control. They're going to go ahead and crunch that up. So we'll be moving that out over to the heavy haul-out pad, where we're going to have them crunch it on the concrete to keep down the contamination. We'll seal the drains and everything. And we'll move the Steinbeck boat over into that corner.
That's great.
Because they want to bring in an office trailer and tool shed and a whole bunch of other stuff. So for 2 years, we can look forward to 2 more years of lay days. So, and all local marine trade. So it's a great, great project.
So I actually was, when I was saying yesterday, I was thinking of that, moving that boat. I didn't even mention it because I thought you guys would say, no, that's a DNR spot.
But it's all... When DNR takes control of the boat, they go out with a contract to find somebody that'll come in and demolish it.
But that's been a nice corner. I mean, it's kind of out of the way for doing that. So yeah. If we stick the Steinbeck boat there, are we going to do all of our DNR demolition on the pad then?
We don't have a lot. There's no other DNR boat on the horizon right now. But we think that's probably the safest from an environmental standpoint is to do it on a weekend kind of thing. When we're not needing the pad. Of course, we're getting into the real busy time of the year too with the heavy haul out in the spring's always the busiest. But it's a nice corner because there's some extra space on the very back side, which won't impact any other boat spaces. We already talked a little bit about the March workshop with the EDC, but we're also, we got a conference call on Tuesday. No, it's the other guy. We don't have a conference call
yet.
The refinancing, Scott from Alan Dashen's office will be over to talk about refinancing. And we've contacted Cynthia Wee, who is bond counsel, to come over and give us a little tutorial on IDC.
That's the workshop.
At the workshop.
Both of those are happening.
Both of those,
yeah.
Along with the EDC. So the workshop is pretty full.
Yeah.
So we'll have that done. And the last thing is, they haven't had one of these for several years, and they are going to have one this year. And it's been a great conference in the past, and it's the FAA Northwest Region Airport Conference. It's on a Monday through Wednesday at noon. I'll just pass that around. It's not on our list. It covers a commission day is the problem. It'd be that next commission meeting, actually. Or no, in April. I'm sorry, it's in April. Mm-hmm. So look at it. See if any commissioners want to go to it, especially the first day. They talk a lot about the FAA grant process and what monies are available, types of projects, et cetera. It's all over downtown Seattle. So that's it.
How about the, you guys want to talk about what heavy haul out and schedule, how busy things are?
It's real busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we good. I forgot what Terry said Tuesday morning.
Eight
on the books,
the big
on the big lift. And usually about the end of March is when we start getting the real busy part of the season. April, May, and into June tends to be the busiest. All the commercial guys, you know, want to get out of here by the end of June, head north. Now, the things are picking up, and in your draft financials, you know, it's interesting that, you know, the yard revenues from 2014 back to 2011 are significantly up compared to by about almost $250,000 compared to 2011. It's been a steady increase each year, you know, which is good. So, when are we going to have that finalized for the commissioners?
Next meeting?
Good. It's good information.
We don't have that.
And the best thing is the 2014 revenues are $150,000 and change over the 2013 operating revenues, and 101.36% of projected revenues. So we're 1.36 off what we projected. To the good.
Yeah.
So as soon as we get the draft off this, we'll put it in your box and talk about it next meeting.
So back to your comments about the DNR situation with demolition and so on. Is it still the future project of, of actually constructing a facility?
DNR wants to do that. Just trying to see if there's any money through the legislature session. So, which is still, you know, it's the real busy time of the legislative session right now. Is all bills had to be introduced by, I think, about 10 days ago. So everything's working through the committees, and, you know, people are going back and forth, testifying and interest groups and all that. And I'm not sure of what date all the bills have to be out, but that kind of gives the legislature and all the government agencies, you know, an idea of how much money is going to be left to play with, if anything. And, of course, the elephant in the kitchen this year is the education mandate, plus that extra initiative that passed, the mandating, you know, smaller class sizes. Well, that had a huge financial bill attached to it, because they have smaller class sizes, that means you need more teachers, more building space, et cetera. And so we'll see. But DNR really would like to push that forward. And we told them if they want us to talk to any legislators, you know, let us know. We'd be happy to call them or send them a letter or even go down there and talk to them at their office. So we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay, public comments.
Hi, my name is Sam Sue. I'm a local marine biologist and an avid diver. It's great to hear about the U.S. Fish and Wildlife funding for the Point Hudson project. I was just wondering if that comes with any requirements or stipulations for protecting fish and wildlife. You know, or is it just you can do whatever with it, or does it?
We haven't seen the paperwork yet.
Anyways, yeah. I was just wondering about that.
Your turn.
I just wanted to say that Vigo and George and I sat through the retreat, and I just want to congratulate all of you on a candid, open, realistic, and mutually respected interaction. Because I was very proud of everybody, that they did a really great job. And I felt the three commissioners really pulled together as a real unit. And so I felt there was real effort also to address a lot of important issues that are facing the court. If I had one concern, it was regarding the mission statement, which I felt was had a slight contemptuousness as cumbersome of a statement by the committee. I would just like to point out that the mission statement was a product of consensus between a number of people, including David King, the mayor, David Hero, lots of people. I think we were involved in that. But everybody worked together, and it's a powerful document. Every word means something. From the very beginning, the word responsibly maintain port resources was a result, was placed before economic development, because previously, the economic development was the mission statement, and as we know, there's this whole neglect of the infrastructure that, as Jim Provard says, represents $14 million worth of expenditure and a maxed out credit card. So I'd like sometime the opportunity to go over that mission statement with you to kind of see what it contained and what the thinking was on that. And in the next discussion, I would love to hear the commissioners discuss reining in the A&G expenses, which are draining port resources. I'd love to see that on the agenda.
Excuse me, reining in what?
The A&G. Administrative and contractual, which is increased 13% in the last. So I'd love to see a discussion on that.
Okay. Okay, Bertram.
Go ahead. One kind of back to you, Dan. Is it Dan?
Nam.
What's that?
Nam.
Nam?
Yep.
N-A-M?
Yep.
Perfect. Did you hear the comments from the when the two divers came a month ago?
Yeah, about that. A month and a half.
A month and a half ago. There was quite a bit of discussion about the breakwater and how to... You know, I mean, part of their concern is we're trying to work in a process to not just bulldoze the whole thing and lose what's there.
Yep.
So you're aware of that.
One
of
I personally dove that site many times.
Right.
And, you know, I've heard about what two divers a few weeks ago brought up through the grapevine at the dive shop.
Okay.
Yeah, I've kind of been plugged into what's going on down there. So that's why I was wondering if this new source of funding, if that's going to, you know, go towards... Instead of just bulldozing everything, if that's going to create an artificial reef or something left over, riprap or something like that. Yeah.
And even without the federal grant, NIMFS, the National Fisheries, they have to issue their permit.
Right.
You know, so we have to go through them no matter what. And the Corps of Engineers, of course, is a separate permit, which takes forever. But there'll be plenty of opportunity for everybody to tell us what we're supposed to do, and some will be conflicting.
Yeah. Thanks.
Right. Any other public comments? Vigo.
It's been mentioned in this body a number of times that the moorage isn't paying for itself. And I think some of that documentation is in gross error. One piece that I saw, it had depreciation expense and it had basically bond expense on the same line. Amy can tell you without a doubt that depreciation expense is a non-cash event. So what I thought I'd do is we'll get a few people together, we'll put some numbers together and look at the picture long term. If you look at it just as a snapshot, that doesn't give you a realistic look at the total picture. If you once pay off the A and B dock, that facility is a cash cow. So I think some of the numbers have been thrown around are incorrect, and I guess if I don't like them, the best thing I can do is take a look at it. So, Amy, I'll make some requests of you, and just try to drill down on some of that stuff. In the paper today, there was a letter to the editor, and it said that taxpayers are paying $144,000 for the mortgage tenants. That is not correct. So I'll put a paper together with some other folks and try to make it long-term. And I'll get a certified public accountant to take a look at it. And then give it to you folks, and Amy can look at it and see if you think it's correct.
Okay. Thank you, Vigo. George?
Well, I can rise to that bait, since I was the author of that letter. That was studied very thoroughly by a certified public accountant. There's no surprise there at all. And I think at some point, and I want to share with you, I really enjoyed the retreat the other day because the takeaway I got from that is something that you should know, that yes, the buck stops with you at this particular time, but there's over 30 years of policies and actions by elected officials that created ultimately where we are at this particular time. It was not done quickly. It was fits and starts all through that time. And so you're now at the cul-de-sac where you don't have the cash flow. You don't have the taxes anymore. It's like you're a private sector operation now. And somebody's got to pay the bill. And the users are going to have to do it. Sorry, it has to be done. And if there's a way, and I want to work with anybody on trying to figure out an equitable way of doing that, I would like to be involved in that. But the bottom line is, yes, the port is subsidizing the tenants. There's no way out of that.
Okay, thank you, George. Any other comments?
Just one.
Jim.
I would say, to yours, in your opinion, because I have to agree with Vigo that we've looked at this, and I mean, there's numbers, and you can fiddle with numbers lots of different ways, and that's it.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Any other public comment? Okay, I guess we, at this point, we adjourn to, sorry.
A couple things. One, I went to the Fort Warren Advisory Committee. Things are good at the fort. Get along, everybody's... You know, that's been a long, struggling process for the PDA and the park to come together, so...
The new marketing guys working out well?
Yeah, I think the new marketing guys working well. It's just, it's interesting being a part of that or watching it because the meshing of those two organizations is tough. Just, I mean... They're literally trying to run this giant resort from the scratch, and it's two very diverse systems that are doing that. So,
plus most of the tenants are nonprofits who, on a day-to-day basis, are just trying to keep their heads alive, let alone pay rent to the larger organizations.
Yeah, and it's tough. My son and his fiance actually wanted to get married out there, and they gave up because it was just too hard. Complex to wind their way through the morass. But no, it's good. You know, we have a real asset out there with Roger Schmidt, who sits on State Parks. And so we're really lucky to have him as part of the Fort Warren Advisory Committee, but also sitting on State Parks, because he definitely can give us a wonderful insight into what's going on and what's coming at us from his perspective. So... quick comment on the retreat. I thought it was wonderful. You know, I thought it really kind of taught me a lot about the different personalities that we are and how we can all work together. And I really look forward to kind of, I think, putting it all up on the board like that, especially with somebody like David that's really just kind of a, you know, clean slate, doesn't bring any agenda to it, is productive. It's really productive. And so I look forward to doing that a couple more times. You know, and I just wanted to say we're at $1.7 million in a year of grant money that's come into the Port of Port Townsend. So
Approximately.
So congratulations to both of you guys for your hard work, and to Eric as well, because that None of that would have happened if you guys weren't sitting on your keyboards banging out grant apps.
Some meetings we had to attend too. A
few meetings as well, but congratulations and thank you very much for that.
I just hope that every year we see the source of the grant money drawing up, and let's hope we can keep tapping into it. It's getting more and more difficult every year, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I want to also say, in regards to what you just said, Al Carnes was part of that, too.
Yeah, yeah, and Al Carnes as well.
Yeah, he's gotten several DOE grants and
right. The
Department of Commerce grant. Some of them are $10,000, $15,000, but
that's
what keeps the day-to-day stuff moving.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think we're heading, I think combining what you guys have done with grants with our concern for kind of getting the aircraft carriers, we said the other day, heading in a good...
That's a good analogy.
Yeah. The timing seems to be about right.
And what George said is very true. We're living with decisions that were made by previous commissioners, some better than others, but, it's just the way it is, and... 5, 6, 8 years from now, there'll be either you guys still here or other commissioners, and have to realize that they're living with decisions that are being made today. So everything just takes so long.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I share your comments in regards to the retreat, and pretty much just exactly as you said, that's how I feel too. So
yeah.
Enough said about that for me. I attended the Regional Transportation Planning Organization board meeting last week, and what I took back from that meeting, the main thing was the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and that they've had some changes in there. They've had some people retire, and so there seems to be a concern that that they're not going to have enough presence, and especially the out of town meetings that occur in Seattle, and if somebody's not there to demonstrate to Washington Department of Transportation that, hey, we're here, that they're going to ignore us.
The I-5 corridor will suck every penny
up there. And that was the main, just that conversation. I'll give this information to you, Pete, and maybe Sue can distribute it to staff as well, but this one document has a list of various projects that's on the peninsula, one of which is some safety improvements down there by Chimicum School on Highway 19. And I guess I just wanted to, at some point, we're going to need to get into dialogue about what kind of improvements can we be applying for 19 up by the airport.
Yeah. And we've worked with DOT, down at Prospect, where you turn to go into Cala Point. There's now a turn lane when you come out to head south towards Chimicum. That was made possible because of us, the port, they had to widen the Prospect there. So we actually deeded over some of our land where the Cala Point sign is. Mm-hmm. It's not a big thing, but it made that possible, which made that a far safer intersection. And the thing we've been pushing for years, and the trouble of the whole system, it usually takes a death to cause somebody to actually pay attention, is to get a turn lane at the airport. Mm-hmm. If you're turning left, wanting to come back into Port Townsend, you're taking your life in your own hand, because that long sight line, people that are coming from the south, it's 50 miles an hour, but they're all doing 60, 65 miles an hour, plus you got traffic. You've all been out there trying to gauge when you should step on the gas, and then it's usually, you go for the whole thing. But
The bicyclists that are struggling up the hill that actually has done as well.
Yeah, it's.
I think
we just got to stay with the organization and be there.
I'm really glad you got to go, Brad, too, because I've been kind of sensing that, going through it last year. It is the squeaky wheel. We got a little walking path over at Lynn, and we got another little walking path at VA. I mean, people have their little interests, and I think our turn should come here where we can put our foot down and say, okay, now we want what's going on down here.
Yeah, the other problem I've seen over the years as money has become tighter, there's a lot of pressure to do the small, less expensive projects. So at the end of the year, they can say, well, geez, we did 18 projects over on the peninsula. Right. Well, yeah, but it was a bike trail for 400 yards, you know.
Right.
Not that biking isn't, get me wrong, but, you know, they gave us a statistic last year, back in the 60s and 70s, the cliche was a million a mile. If you wanted to build a mile of asphalt road, it cost $1 million. Now it's $4 million a mile. And that's the problem they're facing, you know, so.
There's a lot of people sitting at the table there, too.
Mm-hmm. There is, yeah, from a lot of different interest groups. Mm-hmm. So, along with that, at what point in time, I know we've got a long road to hoe in regards to what we're going to do with the airport and that whole project with putting in, you know, a small industrial area and so on, but the access road specifically, you know, is a big part of that. And is there some, even though we've got, there's a lot of decisions to be made in regards to the airport, is the time nearing where we should at least consider going for some Washington State Department of Transportation money to at least start part of that process for an intersection and then at least a partial section of road leading into that area?
I would say they probably would not fund it because it's not, I don't know, because it's our property. And I haven't seen too many projects where they would, but why are we any different than them funding something for the city? Let me check on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing with the industrial park, there's $2 million of federal money waiting for us. All I got to do is pick up a phone call and they'll give us $2 million to do infrastructure for that industrial park. Roads, community septic, power, water, fire flow. The problem is, it's 100% match.
So well, honestly, along the lines
of... We'd have to hold another $2 million, which we don't have.
Speaking of my question, modifications are going to have to be done to Highway 19.
But the access is on Four Corners.
And well, but that wasn't for sure, from what I understand.
It's for sure. It's done. That's platted.
Okay.
And there's already a road cut in. The PUD cut it in for us because they put a well in there and three-phase power on our property. Now, so if you don't have a four-wheel drive Jeep, you're not going to get down the road. But
I thought there was a matter of not having enough width. And it's there's.
Well, we need to get an easement, another easement.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But they're not going to let us come off 19. There's no way. We've already went down that road.
Okay.
And we planned it. We have a whole master plan for it.
I know. I've read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have drawings, and the county's already done a transportation feasibility study for the industrial park, and by coming off Four Corners, that made the whole transportation flow safer and easier.
I thought that we had, don't we have like an assurance from Jeff Transit that we can get that easement?
It's not from Jeff Transit, it's from a homeowner.
Oh.
So we bought half of that property from a gentleman, and we need to get the other 40 feet from the next neighbor.
Okay.
That we have not really went after yet.
Yeah, because there's about 400 yards before you get to the transit property.
Okay, that's all I had on that.
Cool, interesting.
Okay, so we've got an executive session for real estate.
I got a script for you.
Okay, all right.
No decision to be made, so.
Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, the commission will be now convening an executive session.
This is adjourned.
Pardon me?
No. We could.
It's not part of
recess the meeting. Executive session.
This executive session is called pursuant to RCW 42-30-110 and will be held in order to consider the minimum price at which real estate will be offered for sale or lease.
And how long and decisions?
15, no decisions.
Okay, for 15 minutes, no decisions. Is this where I'm supposed to whack the hammer or something?
Save for the journey.
Good.